What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Of the Mid-American Bandwagon Podcast. It's Christmas week and episode 76 here, coming to you live this week on the bandwagon. Zach Folador here, joined tonight by fellow Hustle Belter Zach Vanuensi. We're going to have a basketball specific pod here tonight. We're going to wrap up all things non-conference basketball as we get ready to start conference play next week. Vanzi, how you doing tonight, man?
Pretty good, you know, just getting ready for the holiday season, starting to think about all the food I'm going to eat, you know, and all the good stuff.
Yeah, so that was actually, you prompted my first question there. Christmas Day at the Vanuensi household, what's on the menu? What's the typical Christmas rundown?
You know, it's real basic. I mean, just your standard fare, you know, ham. You know, I don't get people who have turkey on Christmas. Like, do you really, you know, do you need turkey twice in like, you know, a month? That's a little much for me. So, you know, ham, green bean casserole, box stuffing. I tell you what, if we're doing a power rankings of stuffing, box stuffing, number one, all others. You know, we don't, you know, it's just me and my dad. So two guys, you know, we don't go too far all out with anything, but you know.
Yeah. You got all the basics covered though. As you said, I agree with you. The ham, you got to have the ham on Christmas, the stuffing, the green bean casserole. I think you're covering all your bases there, all the good stuff that you need. So
mashed potatoes, got to have those.
Yeah, there you go. Got to have some type of potato there for sure.
In case they're listening or any listeners in Idaho, love the potatoes.
Yes, we big supporters of the Idaho potatoes, especially given the Mac tie into the bowl game up there in Boise. Hey, but hey, let's jump into it here, Vanzi. As I mentioned, we didn't get to talk hoops last week. Wanted to do kind of a recap of the non-conference season here in basketball. We're going to have, got me and Vanzi here going to be breaking down the men's for you. On the other side of the commercial break halfway through, we're going to close out the show. New Hustle Belt member, Grant McPherson, has been doing a lot of women's basketball coverage for us on the site. So going to wrap up the women's non-conference season with him. But Vanzi, let's talk about the men's here first. And before we get into any specific breakdowns, any specific, you know, storylines or anything like that, I know 2 weekends ago you were on site there at in Ypsilanti for the George Gervin Day as EMU retired his number and renamed the arena there after George Gervin. So just wanted to talk to you a little bit about that. Tell us a little bit about your experience there honoring the Iceman.
Yeah, you know, it was just a tremendous day. And right, you know, just kind of starting at the beginning, right when you pull up to the arena, the first thing I saw was a truck that said Ice Sculptures, you know, so I kind of knew where they were going with the Iceman, George Gervin. And you walk into the atrium and right off the bat, they have an ice sculpture, beautiful ice sculpture. They have some photo booths and just, you know, just a large crowd. It was, you know, it was very kind of, you know, it was very nice to see because we haven't had that for EMU basketball in some time. And the Convocation Center hasn't had that since Imani Bates was down the road playing high school games there. So, you know, you have all that. They did a wonderful job of, hey, everybody gets a t-shirt. Everybody gets a rally towel. And I'm not going to say how many towels and t-shirts I walked out with, but it's somewhere between 6 and 10. So, you know, and I see they're going on eBay. That those aren't mine. Those are somebody else. But, you know, so you got all that. They did free food vouchers. Everybody got like a $7 meal, you know, chips, drink, main course, you know, the ticket promotions coming in, they had it, you know, everything was like 24% off for George Gervin, all these great promotions. So nice crowd. You know, they did a lot of things. There was actually a documentary being filmed, so you have a lot of camera crews, and it just gave this big time, you know, ambiance, like, okay, this is a big time event. The student section had a banner. You know, I was very fortunate, you know, shout out to EMU Athletics and the staffers, you know, they selected me to go on the court. I got a trivia question right, got a limited edition bobblehead, which is now in my collection. Very, very happy for that opportunity. And then I'm walking, you know, I'm wearing a George Gervin Spurs jersey and I'm walking up and going back to my seat, and coming out of the restroom is George Gervin. you know, so
yeah,
he stopped and signed it. He was, you know, very nice, signed for several other people, you know, and in the halftime ceremony, you know, you got John Steinbrecher, the commissioner of the MAC, you got Charlie Batch, a former EMU Eagle himself.
Yeah.
And then you got George Gervin talking about how he met his wife at EMU, you know, a lot of people don't know he started out at Long Beach State and came back to the area, the Eastern Michigan. So, you know, just really a great time. And what was interesting is they named the arena after him or honored him. It actually back, I think it was October, maybe November, I had tweeted out that they should do that.
You know?
So like, I'm not taking credit for it, but if somebody wants to send me a check or put my name on something, I will definitely take it. You know?
Get like your name on there somehow. Yeah. A little bit of credit would be nice.
Or like the Hustle Belt Media Lounge. I mean, I'll even put a picture up. I don't know, you know, but just a tremendous celebration of the EMU community, obviously of George, but really the community as a whole. And for somebody from the area, somebody who went to school there, it really struck me as just kind of this, you know, like it was on par with the Quick Lane Bowl as far as a celebration. And looking back on it now, you know, with how we're going with COVID and things like that, I'm real glad we had that opportunity to share in that moment. And then a tremendous game against a very good Florida International team. It goes to, you know, multiple overtimes and they win the game, probably their biggest win of the season. Just a tremendous experience.
Really awesome. Really awesome stuff. Yeah. Looking at the pictures, looked like a great crowd, a great atmosphere on that day. Now, I was going to ask you about the game itself. I mean, obviously four overtimes, you know, Noah Farrakhan, Nate Scott, looked like they really kind of stepped up for the Eagles. How about, so I was looking at the, Eastern Michigan, schedule here, Vanzi, as I was prepping for the show, 5-0 at home, 0-6 on the road. Going to have to work on that home road splits a little bit for the Eagles. Although I guess you could say they're defending home court, right?
Yeah, and you know, they have had some opportunities on the road. They should have beat Northern Kentucky. They should have beat Valparaiso, you know, and let those ones get away from them. They had some COVID absences the last time out. You know, if those guys are there, who knows what happens. You know, we'll see moving forward with them. But, yeah, and then they start off Ohio and then Buffalo to tip off the MAC. And, I mean, there's not a harder start to the play than what Eastern Michigan has.
Yeah, no favors done by the schedule makers for the Eagles here as we start MAC play. So that's a good transition here, Vanzi, into as I mentioned at the top of the show here, just going to kind of be doing a debrief here on the non-conference basketball season. So, you take a look at the standings here, Vanzi. You know, you got Ohio on top of the conference right now, 9-2 overall. Toledo's right behind them at 8-3. Akron at 7-3. Bowling Green at 7-4. Buffalo in fifth at 6-4. So, I mean, you look at it this year, you know, from a standpoint of, you know, the preseason poll, Vanzi, and where the standings are right now. Buffalo was picked to finish first in the MAC this year. I don't think anyone anticipated them to be in fifth place right now as we move into conference play. You know, I look at Buffalo, a couple disappointing losses for them here over the last few weeks. You know, lost to Canisius this past Saturday, 65-64 Canisius, 2-9 going into that game. So, I guess to start off our conversation here, Vanzi, just general impressions from the non-conference season. Did you feel like the MAC as a conference kind of, you know, lived up to expectations and performed up to preseason expectations, or were you hoping to see a little bit more from the conference in the non-conference schedule?
I definitely think you're always hoping to see a little bit more. You know, you had some nice wins, but you also had some teams that just kind of seemed to be, you know, hanging around and, you know, just kind of looking at it, you know, I think you're seeing some separation from the top teams, you know, Ohio, you know, Toledo with Ryan Rollins, you know, I think Buffalo is still a very good team. Akron, before their COVID pause, they seem to be hitting a stride. Bowling Green has won 5 in a row, you know, but they still, it just didn't seem like they had some near, you know, some almost wins, Eastern Michigan, Indiana, you know, some other mid-major and mid-major games where it just felt like they were close but couldn't quite get over that hump. And I don't think looking at the non-conference play that the conference as a whole really did enough to get people talking, or at least nationally, to move that RPI into a situation where, other than the automatic qualifier, you're looking at a potential two-bid league. and really, you know, I mean, I know that's probably coming up, but some of the better wins were from teams that don't look like they're going to do much in conference play, you know, which is interesting.
Yeah. And that's how you, that's actually a perfect point you just made there, Vanzi. And that was actually one of the things I wanted to talk about was that, you know, we had talked, you and I had talked about in one of our previous episodes, it might have been the season preview or maybe the first week of the season that we were looking at, where we both said that, you know, we would love for the MAC to be able to get to a point where there is legitimately a conversation around two MAC teams getting into the conference or getting into the NCAA tournament, which would obviously mean the automatic bid from the conference champion in Cleveland in March. And then obviously you're going to need an at-large team in there. And so because of that, you'd love for some of these big non-conference wins to be coming from your teams like your Buffalo, your Ohio's, your Toledo, stuff like that. But it seems like, you know, those impressive wins that we've gotten, you think about Miami going down to Atlanta, beating Georgia Tech, and Northern Illinois going out to Seattle and knocking off Washington. Obviously those are both great wins. However, are Miami and Northern Illinois teams that are going to be in the conversation in the conference? Probably not. When we look at like the top teams in the MAC, Vanzi, you look at Ohio, you look at Toledo, you look at Akron, even through, you know, throw Buffalo in that mix as well. Do you see any wins from any of those teams that would legitimately be, you know, they could stick in their cap as a good non-conference? When I think about Ohio knocking off Belmont to start the year, but other than that, you know, these teams, you know, everyone else at the top of the conference, you know, Toledo, Buffalo, they had some opportunities, weren't necessarily able to capitalize on them though.
Yeah. You know, Buffalo, I'll go with Buffalo. They've kind of trended down right now. And I know they've had some guys in and out of the lineup. And I got to say, you know, somebody who's following the league, it's real tough to get up to date COVID absences and injury reports. So, you know, I hope people listening realize that we're doing our best to give you information, but there's not always that many beat writers and everyone that you need to get that information, just what's going on with the team's lineup, especially in this day and age. But Buffalo, you know, they beat North Texas. North Texas won Conference USA last year. And then they also beat Western Kentucky down at Western Kentucky. And that's a Western Kentucky team who beat in-state foe Louisville, you know, so I think that's an impressive win. You know, what you're looking at those and how will they age? You know, what does Western Kentucky do in their conference? What does North Texas do in Conference USA? So I think that's going to be something to keep an eye on. And, you know, some of these teams that you may think, oh, that's not a big win. Well, if they end up winning their league, it looks a lot better and whatnot. But, you know, like Toledo against Richmond, you know, that's a win that could have moved the needle somewhat.
Yeah.
No, and on the subject of Toledo, I just want to say, you know, yeah, they look good. You know, probably one of the better MAC teams. Hey, we've been here before with Toledo, though, where they're a MAC semifinalist, a MAC finalist, but Todd Kowalczyk's bunch can't get over the hump. So are they going to be that team that not only plays well in a conference, you know, regular season, but can they get to March? And, you know, history has shown they can't. So we'll see about that.
Yeah, certainly. That is going to be the you know, the point that Toledo needs to prove to all MAC fans this year is, can they perform when the chips are down in March in Cleveland when things really matter? The Rockets, though, as you mentioned, you know, off to an 8-3 start, sitting in second place right now behind only Ohio, who's at 9-2. So I know we've talked a little bit there, Vanzi, about some of the teams at the top of the standings, but taking record out of it, obviously, you know, you got to take, you know, think about record at a certain point, but also taking into account, you know, preseason expectations and where we thought these teams were going to be entering the year. What team, or even if it was, or maybe an individual, what team has impressed you most thus far through the non-conference season, as, you know, compared to them and their preseason expectations and outperforming those expectations?
Well, as far, if you're looking at preseason expectations, I'd probably say Eastern Michigan, because they were picked to finish, you know, at the bottom of the conference. They beat FIU, you know, kind of an odd team. They could have very easily beat Indiana. They should have beat Valparaiso. They should have beat Northern Kentucky. I think they're a sleeper in conference play, you know, but obviously right now, I think you got to look at Ohio, Toledo, Buffalo, Akron's got to be in that mix. You know, they got some COVID issues, but before that they were hitting a stride. And who knows what we got with Bowling Green. Bowling Green's won five straight, you know, all of a sudden they're back in a conversation. But I think Eastern Michigan on a good night, you know, when they're on, they're healthy, they have a chance to be part of that discussion. And they were picked to finish down by, you know, Central and Western at the bottom of the standings.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. I think Eastern Michigan has certainly performed well. I also, you know, a team that's really impressed me, Vanzi, I really like what I've seen from Akron. You know, you mentioned them, you know, going on COVID pause here. They've had some issues there. But I really like what I've seen from them, especially, you know, you look at a guy like Enrique Freeman, the big man, really stepping up. He might be, along with Josh Mbala from Buffalo, might be the premier big man in the MAC this year. He's averaging 12.6 points, 11.3 rebounds per game right now, shooting over 63% from the field. And, you know, you look at Akron's schedule, they have that 1-point loss in the final minute at Ohio State to open the season. They have a nice non-conference win. You know, they go over Marshall, former conference foe. They've knocked off, you know, Wright State here recently, who's been in the tournament the last few years. So I like what I've seen from Akron thus far. John Gross, you know, I was worried about how they were going to be able to replace Lauren Christian Jackson, given how, you know, much he kind of started and was everything for them on offense last year. But I like what I've seen from the Zips thus far. And I think that's something that, you know, I think if I'm a Zips fan, I'm encouraged by what I've seen from Akron through the non-conference season. We talked a little bit about impressive wins, Vanzi. Any other wins there? Any other, you know, we mentioned, you know, Miami going down to Georgia Tech, Northern Illinois going out to Washington. A couple of the other, you know, mid-major victories. We got Ohio over Belmont. Any other wins there that we didn't mention? Anything else that you think warrants better, you know, more consideration from that perspective?
I mentioned the two, you know, the two Buffalo wins. We mentioned EMU over FIU already. I would go with BGSU over Oakland. Oakland's, you know, got some love. They played Michigan State tough the other night. They're a good team. They're probably the best out of the horizon. You know, they've got some love in a mid-major top, you know, 25. So I'd say that's a sneaky victory that can kind of move the RPI. You know, but again, like you said, some of the best wins in a conference, you know, NIU, Miami, those are kind of the wins from teams that you wouldn't expect it from.
Yeah, certainly. And we talked about, you know, impressive teams and teams, Vanzi, that kind of performed above expectations and have been pleasant surprises thus far. What about on the other end of the spectrum, teams that have kind of underperformed, you know, as it relates to preseason expectations that maybe haven't lived up to the preseason hype? Anyone from that side of the fence that you can look at that you feel has been a little bit underwhelming thus far this year?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, you look at preseason expectations and you know, right off the bat, as far as disappointing teams, I even though the expectations weren't there, 1-10 Central Michigan. I mean, that's, yeah. you got to kind of look at that. I think you expected it to be a little bit better than that. Western Michigan lost to a D2 school. But beyond that, I think Ball State and Kent State, you know, they're sitting there at 5-6 in the, you know, in the standings, just kind of in that middle of the pack. You know, behind Ohio, UT, Buffalo, and Akron, they're kind of duking it out with Miami, you know, EMU, BGSU to be kind of the next, you know, next teams up. And, you know, I think both are somewhat proud programs, more so Kent State than Ball State. But, you know, and Kent State's played a tougher schedule. So I think that could be a little bit deceptive there, that 5-6 record. But I don't think anyone really thought that both of those teams, maybe one or the other just by process of elimination, but I don't think anyone thought both of those teams would be kind of back in the middle of the pack fighting for running room.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, I agree, especially about Kent State. I think my expectations for Ball State weren't quite as high entering this season. But with Kent State, you know, I looked at their roster. They have a veteran team here. Sincere Carey, you get the highly regarded point guard transfers in from Duquesne. You got Tervell Beck's a senior, Justin Hamilton's a senior. You know, you got all these guys that have been on campus for a couple years, and yet, you know, a couple of very disappointing performances from the Flashes here over the last couple weeks. They lost at home to Southern the other day, 78-76, lost at home by 15 points to Towson a couple weeks ago. There's been some very, very Some very underwhelming performances from the Golden Flashes here over the last couple of weeks. And another team that's disappointed me a little bit thus far, Vanzi, and I'm not going to say I'm hitting the panic button with them yet, because I still think the talent is there and I still think they're going to turn around. But, you know, I've watched Buffalo play a couple times here over the last couple of weeks, and I haven't loved what I have seen from the Bulls. As I mentioned, the last time out for them, they were playing local rival there in upstate New York, Canisius, the Golden Griffins. Canisius entered this game 2-9 overall. Buffalo was down 12 points at halftime in this game. They came back in the second half a little bit, but still ended up losing that game by one. Just a really bad performance from the Bulls. Shot 35% from the field, 18% from three-point land. So, you know, if I'm Buffalo, a couple, you know, you mentioned they do have some nice wins. They knocked off North Texas, who obviously was in the tournament last year and won a game, beat Purdue in the first round. But I also see, you know, they have losses here to Stephen F. Austin, a close loss to St. Bonaventure, who is good. But, you know, playing St. Bonaventure on the road, another local rival, they couldn't quite pull that one out. So I think with Buffalo, Vanzi, I'm not quite as concerned with them, because I still, you know, I have high expectations and a lot of trust in the fact that, you know, guys like Josh Mbala and Jonathan Williams and Renato Segu, they are going to get that turned around. But I think, you know, behind Kent State and Ball State, who you mentioned, I think I've been a little bit underwhelmed by what I've seen from the Bulls thus far this year. But again, I also am optimistic that they're going to turn it on here come conference play. So let's take a look, Vanzi, at conference play here. We got our first conference games coming up this coming Tuesday, December 28th, excuse me, getting ahead of myself here. We got a couple games on Tuesday. The rest of the conference season kicks off on Wednesday, the 29th. This first week of games, though, Vanzi, some interesting matchups. You mentioned Eastern Michigan. You get Ohio and Buffalo to start out. Ball State taking on Northern Illinois. And Eastern Michigan taking on Ohio, the first two matchups on the 28th there. The rest of the teams kick off conference play on Wednesday, the 29th. What are you looking at from this first week of conference play, though, Vanzi? Like I mentioned, there's some very interesting matchups here over the first couple of days.
Yeah, it's a little bit later in the week, I believe it was, but BGSU at Akron, I believe it's at Akron. To me, I think those are two teams where you're kind of figuring them out. And I believe with the COVID pause, I don't think that one's been moved yet, this game from Akron. But I just think, you know, Akron's kind of hitting their stride. Bowling Green's hitting their stride. You know, are either of these teams MAC contenders? And I think you're going to find out. That's the kind of test you want to see early, because I think if Akron goes in there and they beat Bowling Green handedly, then you can kind of, okay, maybe Bowling Green's not for real, or vice versa. You know, so you're going to find out a lot right off the bat. Also, you mentioned, you know, Buffalo, they're going to end up at EMU. New Year's Day, we got MAC basketball on New Year's Day. You know, maybe flip from some of the bowl games to check out the MAC basketball teams. But, you know, you got Buffalo going into EMU. I mean, you talk about a statement game. If EMU beats Buffalo, I think you got to look at them as being in the mix. And then if Buffalo goes, you know, I mean, if Buffalo loses, that's, you know, like you said, the panic alert for them would definitely be at a fever pitch, you know. So you're going to kind of start finding out about these teams, because it's no longer, well, this team played this Power Five. Well, this team played this Division Three school, Division Two school, looking at you, Western Michigan, you know. So it's going to be, okay, you're playing – you know, your like schools, you're playing your rivals. You're going to find out a lot about these schools. I think you're going to find out a lot about them very quickly.
Totally agree with you. And I'm glad you picked out that specifically that Bowling Green Akron game on next Wednesday, because that, to me, that is kind of the show me game. Those are the two teams where I think that have kind of outperformed a little bit their preseason expectations, both of them coming into this game on 5-game winning streaks. Going to be interesting to see if Bowling Green is able to defend home court there. And, you know, in terms of teams that, you know, I'm interested to see kind of how they look over these first two games. You mentioned Eastern Michigan, obviously talking about, you know, that you go to Ohio, then you got Buffalo coming to Ypsilanti. Another team with the new coach that I'm curious to see how they perform over the first week of MAC play is Northern Illinois. You know, they've had some ups and downs over non-conference play. Obviously that very nice win over Washington to start things off. They've come back to to earth a little bit here over the last couple of weeks. They're currently 3-7, but you get your first two games in the MAC. You get Ball State at home on the 28th, and then you go to Akron next Saturday on New Year's Day. So I think Ball State especially seems to me like a team that's playing with, you know, low confidence right now. If Rashawn Burno's team can get off to a 1-0 start in conference play with a home court win over Ball State, that could be a very, very promising start to conference play for Huskies fans for sure. So Vanzi, don't want to put you on the spot too much here, but if we, you know, we take a look, obviously looking again at the preseason poll, Buffalo, Ohio, Toledo, Kent State, the top four, what do you think about it? I mean, do you think after having watched non-conference play, how accurate do you feel that is? Who do you think is the best team right now in the conference as we move into conference play? And how do you see these next couple weeks playing out?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, surprisingly, that seems pretty accurate to me. I think, you know, if I'm looking at my list here, I got Ohio, UT. I'm still high on Buffalo. I think Buffalo figures it out, and then Akron. I think there's a bigger gap right now between Ohio and UT than what we expected. And then Bowling Green is, you know, if you break them into tiers, I got Ohio, Toledo, Buffalo, Akron, and then tier two, you got Bowling Green, Miami. I'm higher on them. I think they're going to be pesky in the MAC, and you got Kent State, EMU, Ball State, and then you got tier three, Western, NIU, Central. But I think when you look at that, it's pretty much in line with what you had in the preseason, which is surprising. But I got to go with Ohio. I just think they're experienced. They have guys who've been through it. You know, I think they're the class of the conference. I'm not buying Toledo. I mean, you know, I really like Ryan Rollins, but they haven't been able to win the big game, you know, and you know, I'm just not buying the fact, you know, that they're going to win it. You know, I think right now I'm going with Ohio. If you know, said, hey, you got to pick somebody today.
I think I agree with you, Vanzi. I mean, to me, Ohio seems like the most balanced team in the conference. Good guard play with Mark Sears and, you know, Miles Brown. You got good big men there with Jason Carter, Ben Vanderplas. You know, so a very, very balanced roster for the Bobcats that I think, you know, whereas a lot of other teams in the conference here, you mentioned Toledo with Ryan Rollins, they're very, very dependent on one player. Not to put down the other people on Toledo's team, but I don't think you can say that about Ohio, where you have Mark Sears, you have Jason Carter, you have Ben Vanderplas, all these guys that can go get you a bucket. And you look at Buffalo as well with Josh and Ballinger, Nathan Williams and Ronaldo Segu. I think those teams, to me, you know, that's part of the reason why I am optimistic about Buffalo, even though I've been a little bit, you know, underwhelmed by them thus far, is because I do think they have the roster construction and the talent to be, you know, competitive and, you know, prove to be towards the top of the conference here as we move into conference season. Vanzi, before we get out of here, any final thoughts, any final words of wisdom for the listeners as we move past non-conference play and start conference play here in a couple of days?
No, not really. I would say this, I guess, you know, if you're looking to head out to any games, you know, Google and make sure, because we got all these postponements going on. Just make sure, you know, like, you don't want to drive somewhere and have it, you know, especially in the winter, have it canceled or moved. You know, and that's, unfortunately, I think that's going to be an issue the whole season. So something to kind of just, you know, grin and bear it at this point, really. But no, I hope, everyone out there enjoys time with their family. You know, I hope, you know, you get whatever your, you know, Red Ryder BB gun is, you know, whatever. and hopefully, you know, hopefully your MAC team, you know, wins a basketball game coming up here.
I agree with you completely, Vanzi. I agree with you completely. Wise words. As we head into commercial break. So that'll wrap it up for our men's breakdown here. On the other side of this commercial break, I'll be back with new Hustle Belt contributor Grant McPherson, who's been covering women's basketball here for us over the last month or so. We're going to do a quick kind of recap of women's non-conference basketball season with him. We'll be back right here on the other side of this commercial break. All right, folks, welcome back to the show from the commercial break. Here on this, to close out the show here this week, to close out our Max Football pod as we wrap up non-conference play, bringing in a newer Hustle Belt member who's been doing a lot of women's hoops coverage for us, talking with Grant McPherson here today. Grant, how you doing, man? Thanks so much for joining me.
Yeah, no problem. I'm doing really well. We're got some Christmas cookies over here, but, you know, just enjoying the day.
Awesome. Yeah, that's an important job as well. What kind of cookies, if I may ask?
Oh, just sugar, all kinds of cookies, man. All kinds. Yeah. You know, it's that time of the year. You just enjoy making all kinds of stuff.
That's the way to do it. I'm heading out to my parents' house later this evening, and I know there's going to be abundance of cookies there. So definitely going to be adding a couple inches to the waistline here over the next week or so, I think. But anyway, hey, let's get into it here, Grant. Wanted to bring you on. Obviously, I know you've been doing a lot of work for us at Hustle Bell, doing the weekly, you know, women's basketball coverage. It's been a good year for women's basketball thus far. So got some really nice wins in the non-conference season. Wanted to start off though, just by, you know, backing up a little bit here, kind of as an introduction, first time you've been on the podcast, you're just an introduction to our audience. If you could tell us a little bit about your background and kind of how you got interested in covering the MAC.
Oh, well, I went to Central Michigan University. So that was my big introduction to the MAC. I kind of grew up a Michigan State University fan, but, Central Michigan really changed that. Love the MAC. I've loved the MAC ever. Just there's so much about this conference that is just hard to not like. You know, I like to say something I'll probably say a lot throughout this is, you know, in this conference, anybody can beat anybody. And that's true for a lot of different conferences, but it really means something in the MAC. Like it's a visible difference. Like when my dad, who grew up, he went to the University of Missouri. He watched, and now that they're in the SEC and that kind of stuff. But like, you know, in the MAC, everybody competes. It's not a pushover game. You can't overlook anybody. It's just so much fun to be a part of a conference that plays these kind of tight games week in, week out, day after day. And it's fun. And, you know, people who watch us, like, especially in the bowl games, stuff like that, yeah, we might not have the best outcomes, but, you know, it's like people love watching the MAC. You know, they want to watch us, you know, and I like being able to help grow, you know, our conference and just show everybody what we can do.
Totally agree with that. Yeah, totally agree with that. So let's take a look at women's basketball here thus far, this season, Grant. It's been, I think, in my opinion, been a good year for the MAC thus far. Got some nice non-conference victories. What's been your general impression of the MAC through non-conference play? You know, as you mentioned, kind of the MAC always has that ethos of anybody can beat anybody. And, you know, you look at the MAC standings right now and, you know, there's two games separating first place and sixth place. So I certainly think that applies here. But I guess your general thoughts about the performance of the conference in the non-conference season here.
Yeah. So you've got Kent State at 8-1. You got Ball State 7-3. Buffalo 6-4, Ohio, Toledo, Western 6-3, Bowling Green 5-4, Miami 4-5, you know, NIU and Eastern right there 3-5, 3-4, and then honestly Akron and CMU. I did not expect CMU to be, you know, I'm going to pull a little bit of my homer card out, but you know, it's a lot to come back from with, you know, the way, you know, Raina and Presley brought up this team to where they were in that NCAA tournament to now, like, yeah, they have a lot of, you know, this team has a lot of pressure on it itself. And I know the same goes for like Buffalo. You know, Buffalo has been playing really well the past few years, and now they got to come back, and they have this Daisha Fair, by the way. Wow.
Yeah.
I can't say enough about her that probably other people are going to say throughout the year. Right now, if you say through the non-conference, her and CeCe Hooks, two of my favorites, CeCe Hooks of Ohio, obviously my favorites to be one of those two player of the year at the end of the year, 100%. Those two have just been dynamite for their teams. And Ohio's got two players that are averaging 20 or more points.
Yeah.
Like you've got, you know, these teams that are coming out here just shooting the lights out, and then, you know, this season is really shaping up to be another fun one, as we always just say it. You know, you can never take a break on any game, especially in the non-conference with these teams playing like Minnesota and like all these other big teams in their state. So when you really come down to it, it's just, you know, your strength can help you, your strength and weaknesses can help you one day, but then you turn right around and it's going to be the downfall in the next game.
Totally agree with you. Yeah, there's and with so many great players in the conference, especially, and so many evenly matched teams, there's no nights off in the MAC, as you said. I think that's a great point. Now, looking at some of the individual performances here, or your individual games, I should say, in the non-conference season, as I mentioned, the MAC has had the opportunity to go on the road and play some Power Six teams, a couple MAC teams. You know, there have been some good non-conference victories. What would you say, in your opinion, most impressive non-conference victory for the conference so far this year?
I would definitely have to say that Kent State win over Penn State in that Gulf Coast showcase, 81-74. They got out to an 18-8 lead at the end of the first quarter. I'm like, where is this team? Who is this team? You know, and then all of a sudden, you know, and then Penn State obviously fights back. They're only down by one at halftime, as you would expect from a Big Ten team. And then Kent State came out of the half and just outplayed Penn State in the second half, you know. And it's, you know, obviously football and basketball are two very different sports. But when you see that happen in, like, basketball, it's a little bit more interesting. And that kind of stuff is – it was really interesting to see them come back – to just come out in the second half and just shut – basically not shut down Penn State technically, but just over – outplay them. They would match in basket for basket and just were able to hold on to the lead throughout the rest of the game. And I expect that – I expect Kent State to be – a big powerhouse in this in the Mid-American Conference this year.
I agree with you, Grant. And I think, you know, you look at Kent State's schedule, obviously the win against Penn State is huge. They also have a win over UCLA. They beat the Bruins 75-69. So two really nice victories for Kent State thus far through non-conference play. And, you know, you look at this team, I guess this is a perfect segue into my next question here for you, Grant, but it's just in terms of, you know, most impressive teams or most impressive players thus far of the non-conference season. I feel like you got to look at Kent State as being kind of the surprise of the year so far. You know, you look back at last year, this is a team, they weren't bad, but they weren't, you know, they finished the season 11-9, 10-6 in the MAC. Certainly not a bad season at all, but I don't think anybody anticipated this type of start to the season for the Golden Flashes, sitting now at 8-1 with two really nice victories, again, over Penn State and UCLA. From your perspective, Grant, whether teams or individuals, what has been most impressive to you thus far through about a month and a half of the season?
I hit on Daisha Fair and CeCe Hooks. You know, those two, it's hard to overlook what they've done with their teams, especially with, you know, Ohio in the preseason pick to win the conference, got their four first place votes. You know, it's going to be a big thing you want to watch this season, I think, especially with the conference starting in the coming week here. You're going to have to follow CeCe Hooks and Daisha Fair, Buffalo and Ohio. I really believe that those two is gonna, whether or not Fair keeps up what she's doing, and then if CeCe Hooks falters a little bit, Erica Johnson right there with her. Both, you know, she's fourth in the conference in points average per game, and so it just, you're gonna have to watch these teams. And I know it's hard to, but you just gotta be able to go out, watch these teams. These girls play just as hard as the men do, and I've been a huge thing of, when I first started going to college athletics, I was like, these girls play just as hard as the men do, and they put in just as much work as the men do, and these games are just as much fun to watch, and could not have been overstated watching some of these games that I have already throughout this Mid-American Conference. And just, I'm really looking forward to this conference schedule. I really am.
Yeah, I agree with you. And with so much premier talent in the MAC this year, you know, you mentioned Daisha Fair. I think, you know, Grant, it's crazy. You mentioned Ohio being the, you know, the preseason favorite in the MAC. You got two players in the top four of the conference in scoring for the Bobcats. Erica Johnson, CeCe Hooks, you mentioned them both. Both averaging over 20 points a game. CeCe Hooks shooting 50% from the field through non-conference play, 21.3 points per game, 7.6 rebounds per game. Going to be a hard team to beat in the MAC this year are the Bobcats. And again, you mentioned Daisha Fair as well, averaging 21.3 points a game. Certainly one of the best individual performers in the MAC night in and night out. Let's look at the other side of the conference, or I guess the other side of the spectrum here, if you will, Grant, in terms of teams that are kind of underperforming a little bit. I know you mentioned, you obviously, your allegiance to Central Michigan. You're an alum of Central Michigan. I don't think anybody anticipated the struggles that Central Michigan has had this year, you know, coming off of three straight NCAA tournament appearances. And obviously the 1 year they had a chance to go before the tournament got canceled. So it could have potentially been four straight NCAA tournament appearances coming into this season, but has not been a good start to the year for the Chippewas. They're currently sitting at 2-7, had some rough losses in there as well. What do you think, what's been the issue for the Chippewas thus far through, you know, through a month and a half?
You know, and I just think Molly Davis can't do it all herself.
Yeah.
And that's just, I mean, it's just, straight up. I mean, there's going to be nights where she struggles, and that there was a game where she shot like 1 of 11, and you know, you need other players to step up, and this team is just really young, still trying to figure out where they're at right now. So that's kind of what the non-conference gave them a chance. I mean, they played some top, tier teams in the non-conference as well. So it's, you know, they're just trying to feel out where they're at right now. I think Coach Osterley, I apologize if I mispronounced her name, but she's got, I'm sure that Sue Guevara gave her a whole lot of, I mean, I know Sue Guevara comes on this campus a lot again and like likes to, you know, rattle this team up some more. So I'm sure that Osterley has gotten some wise words to be able to coach this team back up. But, you know, it's just Molly Davis needs some help from some of the younger players on this team and players that haven't normally been able, you know, been able to contribute. They need them to contribute when Molly is struggling.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I think your point on Molly Davis is well taken. And I think you can tell the extra pressure that she's putting on herself and the extra, you know, responsibility she's taking onto her shoulders. Because, I mean, even you just, you know, you look at her shooting splits, her efficiency stats. This is a, you know, she shot almost 50% from the field her first 2 years, you know, about almost like 48.7, 48.9%.
People were comparing her to Presley Hudson as soon as she stepped on this campus.
Yeah. And you look at her now, I mean, she has to do everything this year and it shows in her stats. I mean, she's still averaging 16.5 points a game, but she's down, you know, shooting percentage is down to 35%, 3-point percentage down to 24.5%. You can really tell she feels like she has to do everything. And that, I guess, you know, that can certainly lend itself to a little bit of a lower efficiency. So we'll see what if the Chippewas, if other members of that team are able to step up here as conference play starts, because they have wrapped up their non-conference schedule, have the Chippewas. So what about just generally speaking, I guess your surprise so far of the non-conference schedule? You know, we talked a little bit about Kent State. I don't think anybody saw them getting off to the start that they did. Any other teams or any other players that have impressed you thus far that maybe you didn't see coming?
You know, this conference never really, you know, ceases to amaze me with how one team can just look really good and, you know, but there's still other good teams in this conference. So early on in this season, if I had to give it to like a surprise team, I guess, kind of, would be Ball State. I think Ball State's been a surprise this year. At 7-3 in the beginning, you know, heading into the beginning of the conference slate with wins over Utah State, IUPUI, and just Milwaukee, to name a few. I really think that I so apologize to Thelma, but Thelma, can you help me out here? Disaugustur, maybe?
I think that's it. I think you got it.
Okay, and then Anna Clefane. I'm pretty sure those two are going to have Ball State right next to Kent State throughout this season, if, you know, right near the 1, 2, and 3 spots. And I really think that, you know, Ball State's a sleeper. Picked to finish 9th in the regulars in the preseason. I really think Ball State's a sleeper. They've proved it so far, 2nd in the conference right now before the conference starts, and I really think they have a chance to come out and just winning the championship game, but at least finish at the championship game. I really think that they're a good enough team to get there.
Yeah, and certainly some impressive performances by the Cardinals. Even in defeat, you look at their schedule, you know, a 10-point loss to Pitt, a 4-point loss to Texas Tech. They've played against some Power 6 competition and have acquitted themselves well. So certainly a good look so far for the Cardinals this year, especially as you mentioned, Grant, you know, their pick finished 9th in the preseason poll. So certainly a good start for the Cardinals. Wrap things up here. Last question I have for you, Grant, before I let you get on with your day, just general thoughts as we move into conference play. You know, we talked about, obviously Ohio picked to win the conference at the beginning of the year. Do you still feel that way? Do you think Ohio still comes out on top here? Has anything that you've seen changed your opinion there? How do you see conference play? How do you see that playing out as we move into conference play, I should say, here in the next week or so?
Yeah. So honestly, with all these records right now, throw away all of these records right now. Because that's the way it is in basketball. I mean, yeah, you have all these awesome wins in non-conference, but it's conference. I'm pretty sure that's all these coaches and players are worried about right now, and which is good. I really think it's Ohio and Buffalo, and then Ohio, Buffalo, Kent State, those three teams, Ball State right there with them. Eastern Michigan, honestly, might be right there with them as well. You never know. Toledo as well. Toledo's had some good games.
Yeah.
You know, some teams are struggling, but you never, like I said, you can never count anybody out. The minute you count somebody out, they come right back and they beat you. The biggest thing, it's just, and I can't overstate how much fun this conference is. You know, you don't ever come into, I can tell this to the, you know, from a former athlete myself, don't ever go into a game thinking you have an easy win, especially in this conference. no game can be taken for granted, especially the games against like Central or Western. Like if you think Western's gonna win, you know, it's like that kind of stuff. If Eastern's gonna come out, beat Central, you know, if Toledo's gonna be Bowling Green, it's just you never know. And I think you can expect a lot of surprises this upcoming season. Especially even in the beginning, in like January, February, and then heading into tournament time, it's gonna be a lot of fun. And I hope you guys all follow along, because I'm going to have a lot of fun reporting it and just telling everybody how it's going.
Awesome. Totally agree, Grant. Totally agree. So yes, everyone, if you're interested in MAC women's basketball, Grant is the guy to follow. Been doing all of our weekly recaps on the Hustle Belt, doing a great job. And conference play getting started here in just a little under a week. Wednesday, December 29th, our first conference games. Yes, we got 6 conference games on the women's side that day. So all 12 MAC teams will be in action on Wednesday, the 29th. Certainly going to be, you know, it's going to be a sprint to the finish line from here. We got just under 3 months until the conference tournament there at Quicken Loans Arena there in Cleveland. And actually, as I say that, I don't think it's called Quicken Loans Arena anymore, whatever it's called, whatever the Cavs Arena in Cleveland.
Cavs Arena. Yeah,
yes.
Let's call it that.
We're just over just under 3 months away from the MAC tournaments for men's and women's there. So certainly going to be a lot of good stuff coming out here over the next couple months. Grant going to be leading our women's basketball coverage on Hustle Belt. Grant, before I let you go, just let everyone, let the audience know where to find you, Twitter, all that good stuff.
Twitter is GrantCMU2018. That's really my handle throughout any social media output. If you would like to find me and ask any questions or anything about women's basketball, I got you. You know, if you need anything else, I will, any comments or any, especially on all the things that I have written, if you have any comments or anything you want me to add throughout this year, you let me know and I'll do my best.
Awesome. Well, Grant, we appreciate you stopping by this week on the Bandwagon Podcast. Always good to have new voices in here. We might have you back on a couple times here, breaking down some women hoops over the next couple of months. So we appreciate you stopping by today, man.
Yeah, I appreciate you for having me. Thank you so much.
All right, folks, that's going to wrap it up for episode 76 here of the MAC Bandwagon Podcast. Thank you, as always, for stopping by. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, we'll be back with a little bit more football talk next week. We're going to do a kind of a recap of the non-conference season in men's and women's basketball this week. So we'll be back with a recap of all of the MAC bowl games next week. We didn't forget about them, I promise. We're going to be back. Steve will be back. We'll be talking about some MAC football next week. So thank you all for stopping by. As usual, we appreciate it. Hope everyone has a wonderful holiday season with their family. Eat too much. Watch some football. Watch some basketball. Enjoy the bowl games. Enjoy everything. It's a great time of year. And we will see you guys back here next week.